Welcome, everyone, to the 2020 edition of the Analog Members Special. Thank you for joining us. I am excited to be here with my bestest of best friends, Mr. Mike Hurley.
Wow, that's quite an introduction I got. That's very nice of you.
Well, yeah. So I needed to do something better than my normal, like, complete nosedive. So I don't know if I succeeded or not, but at least it was different.
So we like to do movies for our member special every year, and we're thinking about what we might want to do, and we had a lot of ideas. But then out of left field came the movie that we're talking about today, which is Ford vs. Ferrari, or Le Mans 66, as it's known in certain regions. The reason we're doing this is because if you listen to Analog, you'll know that both me and Casey have been very involved in Formula One at the moment, kind of from the Drive to Survive series to beginning to watch the races on a weekly basis as they're being watched. So we decided that we would watch a movie, and Casey suggested, I think you suggested a Tom Cruise movie at first.
Yes, and I still think we should do it. I had suggested Days of Thunder, which probably doesn't age well, although I have seen it recently and I thought it's fine, but I can't tell if that's nostalgia talking. And I think we should do that at some point. But
yeah.
But you had suggested, and I think it was a much better suggestion, Ford versus Ferrari, and that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah, because this is a movie that I wanted to see anyway, and is like a perfect, so it's a racing movie. And so, but it's not just a racing movie. It's also a genuinely good, considered good movie, right? Like, right. I think it was up for award contention and stuff like that. And it features Matt Damon and Christian Bale in the lead roles as not Ford or Ferrari, as the name may seem to suggest. And also, like, there is a slight issue with the naming in this, the way that it is presented, because there are two men on the posters, right? And it's something versus something.
Right.
So
right.
Going into the movie, I thought that one of these guys raced for Ford and the other raced for Ferrari.
Interesting.
That was what I was expecting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, but that is if it was called that in, like, here and in other places in Europe, it's called Le Mans 66.
Right.
Which I think is a better title, personally.
It's a less American title for sure. Like, the American me is all about the fight and the drama and so on.
But Ford versus Ferrari is the original name, though. Like, that is the name of the movie.
I would like to hear your opening thoughts as per tradition. Let me give you my opening thoughts. I had seen this in the theater in the before times, which is not something I do very often. It's very rare I go to a theater to watch a movie.
Yeah, I wanted to see this in the theater, but whenever it was that it came out, there were a bunch of movies, and I just prioritized the other movies that I wanted to see for whatever reason.
Which is understandable. So I'd seen this in the theaters. You know, I'd had an evening out with a bunch of my guy friends, and we one of them had suggested Ford versus Ferrari, and I was like, okay, sure, I'll suffer through. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it when I saw it. I've seen it a couple of times since then. I watched it last night to refresh my memory. I definitely think, upon having seen this for like the third or fourth time last night, I have some problems with the movie, but overall I think it's a very enjoyable, very good movie. And I definitely, this last viewing, I want to save my thoughts until after you speak, but this last viewing crystallized some themes that I've discovered in this movie, which are not like, this is not earth-shattering discoveries. This is not like, honors level English reading some ridiculous book from 300 years ago. Like, these are obvious observations, but they crystallized for me much more in this last viewing than they have before. But as always, I am on pins and needles. I am literally on the edge of my chair. Did you enjoy the movie?
Oh, of course I did. I loved it.
Excellent.
Like, these are Christian Bale especially, but I also really enjoy Matt Damon's work. But like, Christian Bale is a I'm a big fan of him.
Agreed.
I like most of the movies that he's done with with Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him in other roles. Like in The Big Short, I really enjoy his work in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know that he is a apparently quite difficult person to work with, but also my understanding is, like, the reason for that is because of how much he cares,
sure.
Right? Like, there seems to be like an overlap there. Did you know he's going to be in the next Thor movie?
I did not.
Yeah, it is not at the moment stated who he is.
Interesting.
I assume he's the villain, but just funny that Christian Bale will now enter the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But yeah, he is a known like method actor. So really, really dives into the roles. And, you know, there are many stories of like people distracting him and him going wild because it's broken him out of his process. I don't understand what it's like to do this, so I'm not going to judge one way or the other, right? You know?
Sure.
But I do really respect the work that he clearly seems to go through. Like, you know, there's many stories of him dropping weight, adding weight, like significantly, but to play the roles. And so, you know, but like, frankly, he is an excellent actor, as is Matt Damon. I think that Matt Damon is overlooked sometimes. Like lots of incredible performances under his belt. Like one of my favorite movies, The Departed, he's excellent in that. The Martian, you know, everyone knows Good Will Hunting. But I think that he can be overlooked sometimes. I'm not really sure why, but he's also like, you know, so basically this movie features two incredible actors, really like in some instances, like at the height of their game now. Like neither of them are making bad stuff anymore, you know. So yeah, I really, really liked it a lot. Like, I really liked this movie a lot.
Good.
I also have some issues with it that are surprising to me that they didn't find a way to resolve. But I, you know, it's kind of, I would give this like a solid 8 out of 10.
Good.
For me, you know.
I'm glad. No, that makes me very happy. Some of my kind of global observations, and we can pick it apart as you see fit. But this movie, first of all, I think it was too long. I think it was about half an hour too long.
See, we've been watching a lot of like Scorsese movies and stuff over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So 2.5 hours is kind of what I'm expecting from movies at the moment. So we didn't notice that.
That's fair. I didn't notice it the first one or two times I watched it. But like I said, this was like 3, 4, or 5, somewhere in that neck of the woods. And I felt like it was about half an hour too long. I'm not even sure what I would cut necessarily, to be honest with you. So maybe it isn't too long, but it just felt a little long to me. That being said, I feel like, let me ask you, and I'm not going to give you a lot of depth, and I just want to see how you react. Was this movie deeply American?
No.
Okay. Because I couldn't tell, especially this last time, if it was like the most American movie ever. Because
it would be if Ken Miles wasn't British.
Okay. Fair.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that really adds, because I can see what he says. It's the Ford Motor Company. So we should just say this is based on true events, this movie.
We should give a very, very quick synopsis. So Ferrari, the automobile manufacturer.
Can I read the synopsis from IMDb?
Sure, if you want.
Okay. American car designer Carroll Shelby and driver Ken Miles battle corporate interference and the laws of physics to build a revolutionary race car for Ford in order to defeat Ferrari at the 24-hour of Le Mans in 1966.
That's a pretty good summary. And so Carroll Shelby is played by Matt Damon. Ken Miles is played by Christian Bale. And yeah, there's a bunch of things standing in the way of them being winners. And they overcome and they are winners.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. As I was watching it, it just struck me as a very American movie. And I hear what you're saying about Christian Bale and Ken Miles, and you're right. But I don't know. It was a very, like, I feel like that appeals to like the stereotypical American inside of me, which arguably is almost all of me, depending on when we're talking. But you told me that you're not going to win, or you told me that I'm big and fat and whatever. Well, I'll show you. You know, it's a very American, you know, screw you kind of mentality that I think came out in me when I was watching this.
No, I didn't get that. Like, that just felt like Ford was just a troubled individual, right? Mm. Because he was living in the shadow of his father. Mm-hmm. And
The Deuce,
which is not a great nickname.
No, it's not.
I feel like that, I don't know, but I feel like that was a name that nobody said to him.
Probably. You're probably right.
Because you only ever hear people mention it about him.
Yep.
But, you know, it's like he must have been feeling that, and Ferrari did make him look like an idiot, You know, they used Ford to leverage a deal with Fiat, which I didn't know that was how that happened. Like, I knew that Fiat purchased Ferrari, but I didn't know, or merged with Ferrari. I'm not actually sure which way around it was, but I didn't know that Ford was ever involved, which was fascinating to find out. So, like, you know, really, I feel like that this movie could have been, if this had happened and was happened in the UK, I think it would be a pretty similar situation. Like, it doesn't feel particularly American to me.
Good. Okay.
Really.
I think that's a good thing for the record. I just couldn't tell.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Because I think that would turn me off a little more, right? Sure. If it's like, rah, you know, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
America.
America. Heck yeah.
But again, it is deeply helped by the fact that there are a lot of, like, distinctly Northern English accents in this movie.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. You may not know the answer to this, and I certainly do not know the answer to this. Do you know what Christian Bale's, like, natural accent is? And how would you describe that if you were familiar with it at all? Because I couldn't tell you one way or the other.
I don't think it's massively far away from what he's doing in this movie.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Like, he is English.
Sure.
I'm trying to find out now. So he was born in Wales to English parents. He spent his childhood in Surrey and Dorset. So actually not, it wouldn't have been that close to this. It would be much more well-rounded if he lived in that part of England. But, you know, he actually, I think, does a very good job of feels like a Northern English accent to me, but I'm not completely sure. Let me find out where Ken Miles was actually from.
I want to say that's correct. I think he was from, what's the big manufacturing area up there? There's probably several, but I thought he was from somewhere on the, what's the big northeastern city?
I don't know what you're referring to, and I don't want to upset people.
No, I don't know either. I'm horrible when it comes to English geography. Hold on, let me open a map. This is great programming. This is what you pay for,
everyone.
Oh, yeah,
he lived near Birmingham, so I was right. There you
go. Yeah, Birmingham. Yeah. That's what I meant. I kept wanting to say Liverpool, but I knew that probably wasn't right. Isn't Birmingham on the... No, it's not even anywhere near the eastern side of the country. Well, I'm just going to stop talking now. Great work, me.
Towards the north of England, right? Like, that's what his accent is telling me, and he does a good job of it. You know, Christian Bale's one of these individuals, like, not Stephen Fry, the guy who plays House.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, what is his name? Oh, no. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Hugh Laurie.
Thank you.
Where you forget what their actual accent is like, or like you hear them in an interview and you're like, hang on a minute.
Yeah, I didn't know Hugh Laurie was English for the longest time.
No one knew.
I didn't know him until House. And
only then, English people knew.
Yeah, well, right? And then every great once in a while, and I can't cite an example, but every great once in a while, I'd hear a vowel pronounced in a way I wasn't expecting. I'd be like, huh, that's weird, but I didn't think anything of it. And then come to find out, he is very British, and I had no idea.
Well, like the story goes that when he auditioned with an American accent, the person he auditioned with thought he was American.
Yep,
so
I had heard that.
That's why he ended up getting the role, because they didn't want a British doctor. So he wouldn't have got the role if he didn't do that accent.
Did you enjoy House? And we're going on a big tangent now, but did you enjoy House?
It has a rocky patch in, I think, like the penultimate season or the final season, but overall really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I loved House, and I loved it kind of despite itself, because it really was the exact same show every single time.
But that's the type of show that it was, you know, like that monster of the week type thing, right, that medical things have. But it had good through lines, and of course, features a really great multi-episode performance by your new best friend, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, which I don't remember at all.
You would, if you watched the show, you will remember the character immediately, because it's very, it is a very memorable character. If you are in the right mind to put the two and two together. Yeah, I would say that, like, the performances are very good. The stories are very good. The racing is very good. You know, they do a really good job of giving an idea of the speed, stuff like that. You said, you know, you're right in saying that the movie is long. It is long, but I think it suffers from trying to do too much too fast. So one thing that I think this movie does spectacularly badly is giving you a sense of time.
I think that's a very good observation. I didn't think of it until you said it, but yes, I emphatically agree with you.
Like, they never explain how long between scenes that clearly time has passed, including like the initial scenes, right? So like Carroll Shelby's out of Racine, and then he has the Shelby Motor Company, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long did that take? And they reference, like, at one point, very, like, obtusely, that he didn't win for the last 3 years, with, or, like, an American, or, like, just, or the Ferrari had won 3 years in a row, right, when he's talking to Lee Iacocca.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, was, does that mean it's been 3 years? Does that mean it's been 9 years? Like, it's impossible to tell. And then things are happening, like, when Ken actually comes on board and he's working, they end up going to Le Mans. And you have to, like, work out that, like, he, when he's thrown off the team, they then go to Le Mans without him. And you have to kind of work that out. Mm-hmm. And then, like, from the time of doing, like, coming in second in Le Mans 66 to him dying, how much time is that? Like,
yeah,
there's not really a good sense in this movie of when time has passed, how much time has passed. And I feel like, potentially this is a directorial choice of not wanting to be like 2 years later, and was maybe trying to like be a little bit more like, oh, they'll pick it up. And I don't think they put enough down right for it to be picked up. And it seemed like that they were trying to rely on you knowing that like Daytona comes before Le Mans. Like, no, right? Like, that's not necessarily something that people are aware of.
Sure.
Or, like, to understand how, like, because at first, like, so the, was it the Shelby Motor Company, or is it Shelby American?
I think it's Shelby American. I'm not 100% sure, though.
So, like, when he set up Shelby American, at first, seems like he just works in a garage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, oh, no, wait, he's not tuning up those cars. Yeah,
he's selling them.
He's making them and selling them.
Yeah.
And like, oh, okay. Or like from the time where they have the press conference to when Miles decides to work for him, and then they go to that plane and the GT40's there. It's like, mm-hmm. how long did it take for the GT40 to be built?
Yeah, that's a really good observation.
I assume it wasn't a week.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other like minor complaint, but like that is my major complaint of the movie. My minor complaint of the movie is, you remember the scene when they are racing in Le Mans and Ken Miles is working on the GT40?
Yeah.
And he is like talking to himself about all of the things that have broken in the car.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody talks to themselves like that. Nobody talks to themselves in full sentences.
Yeah. Yep, that's true.
Right? Like, you will maybe mention a word or two, but, like, nobody is, like, that, like, gives that much, like oh, I told him that the carburetor would fail. Like, nobody's, not a thing that people would say, right? I think in most instances, you're more likely to say, like, carburetor, like, that's the kind of, you know, so that was just like a scene that I didn't enjoy. It was, like, the only scene that I didn't enjoy because it felt too exposition-y. In good movies, I am allergic to exposition, because if the movie is really good, I feel like they should do a good team can do a better job of telling a story without needing to give you chunks of text, right?
Yep.
And it's funny to me that in a movie that is like allergic to giving you any sense of time passing, they don't care about maybe a little bit too much exposition. But they are the only two things that I disliked in a movie that I thought was hilarious. In places, like, really entertaining and engaging and heartwarming. You know, like, I really loved the relationship of the Miles family. Like, very encouraging family towards each other. Like, very, like, really care for each other. And like, Molly seemed, like, super engaged in like, a realistic way, and was, like, respected amongst the other people at like the Shelby team, because she clearly knew what she was talking about, you know, like, she was involved. And I enjoyed that. And I also just really liked how she understood him and could support him, you know, like how she turns up at the garage when the Le Mans going on, when he's not there. I loved the very subtle, maybe not so subtle, subplot of the fear in Miles' son about the brakes. You know, like, he saw his dad nearly die and then was like kept talking about the brakes, you know, like, wanted, when they're on the phone, wants his mom to ask about the brakes. When he's coming into pit, like, this is when the brakes, like, you know, like, he's very focused on the brakes. And it, you know, it's a super, so, like, obviously this movie, it ends sad and then gets more sad, and like, that's the problem with movies based on real life is that they don't always get movie magic.
Yeah.
You know, like, if this movie was conceived by somebody, and or we would have seen him go on to win the next one.
Right, sure.
Right? But what we actually see is he got screwed out of the win and then died. Yep. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, this is real life, you know? So that's the thing about this movie is, like, it does hit you in that way. Like, it was super sad. But yeah, it was, yeah, also just like... Yeah, it was really well shot. The special effects are very good. The sense of speed is very good. The models that they have, like the cars, look fantastic. Like, you know, I don't know if they actually were using real GT40s,
yeah,
but
I don't either.
It was very, very good. So as a car person, I'm sure you appreciated this movie.
Oh, God, yes. And I mean, this is, to truth be told, these are cars well before I started paying attention. I mean, I was 20 years before I was born when this was happening, you know, so, yeah. But I loved it nevertheless. And I mean, like, even having that like brief nod to the debut of the Mustang, which I don't know how much that translates to other countries, but like the Mustang is arguably one of the most beloved cars in American car culture, you know, like whether or not you're a particular Mustang fan, you Mike or you whomever, it's a pivotal moment in American car culture when that car was released, and it's been around ever since. And so it just, even seeing that like kind of fly by, it was really neat. And hearing Ken like dissect how he hated the Mustang originally, he took like one look at it and said, oh, this is crap, that's garbage, you should fix this, do that. Yeah, I just thought it was so well done. I know, so much of this movie, as I watched last night, so much of this movie felt like it was like if I were to name this movie based on the plot, the name of this movie would be Screw You, : The Movie. Because I feel like the entire movie was just somebody saying screw you to somebody else. Ford saying screw you to Ferrari. Leo Beebe, who, by the way, Josh Lucas, also a great actor.
I hated him.
I hate him so much.
But like, that was the point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's very good in that regard. Like, couldn't stand him.
Yeah, and I didn't see Josh Lucas as being able to pull off a sleazy dirtbag, but he does. Oh, he does. Anyway, so yeah, so Leo Beebe, or however you pronounce his name, saying screw you to Ken Miles. And then at the very end, there was when Leo Beebe, who was played by Josh Lucas, says, you know, I want to get all three cars in a line for the photo finish. And Ken goes out, and, you know, Carol has said to Ken, you know, it's your car, it's up to you what you want to do. And Ken goes out there and just obliterates his lap record from like 3 hours ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, screw you, look at how fast I can go. You know, just, I wanted to prove to myself / everyone else how fast I am and how fast this car is. And just the whole thing is nothing but Screw You, the movie. And that's not a complaint, for the record. Like, I enjoyed every single bit of it. And I thought it was all, on the most part, I think it was very well executed. You really rocked my world with that time stuff that you were talking about, because you're exactly right. You absolutely hit the nail on the head about that. But overall, I think it was a well-executed movie. And as much as I would have loved to see even more focus on the car in like a Batmobile sort of way, like even more focus on some of the intricacies of it, even more focus on the racing of it, I actually think they had the appropriate amount of it for any normal person. You know, I think that had they focused even more on the actual racing, it would have gotten perhaps a bit slow or boring, despite the fact that racing is by definition very fast. And I think they showed enough racing to be in service of the plot, but not to dominate the plot. Or at least that's the way I took it. I don't know if you felt differently.
No, I think you're about right. I'm actually just looking at IMDb here, just looking at some trivia. And the top, one of the top trivias, which is helping us with this issue that we've been having about the time thing, is that the Ford GT, it was an already existing car. It had been racing in Europe, but not doing very well. It wasn't really built very well for European races, because it needed, like, American engines weren't really set for those types of races, but it was perfect for an endurance race like Le Mans or something where speed and power is needed. See, that's what he means. It wasn't designed by Shelby. They did a lot of work on it, but it was an already existing car.
I did not know that. I mean, I think I had assumed, clearly incorrectly, that it was like some Skunk Works project from like Ford or like Lotus or something like that, in that they had just decided to bring it over.
I mean, it clearly, the internals and development then turned into that, but the body and the car, you know, so maybe it wasn't that long, right?
Mm-hmm.
In between the presentation and when he shows off the car, because they just brought over one of the GTs from Europe or whatever.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I loved about this movie, and you made brief mention of it earlier, is that it is a much funnier movie than I think I expected. Like, this movie, going into it, is probably going to go one of two ways. It's going to be like a slapstick comedy, sort of like Ricky Bobby, whatever it is. Did you ever see that one? Like the
Talladega Nights?
Yes, thank you. I couldn't think of the name of it. Yes, thank you. Or it's going to be a more serious film about racing. And I feel like they actually danced the line, not all the way to slapstick, but they had enough like genuinely funny, interesting moments and like really good dialogue to I think really, really deftly balance the line between like a boring biopic about Ken Miles to and something just over the top funny. And some of these lines, like right in the beginning, you know, right in the beginning when Carroll Shelby is literally on fire and he's, you know, trying to get back in the car. Am I on fire? Am I on goddamn fire? It's
just so... I like, one of my favorite comedy moments is I really enjoyed the fight scene.
Yes, yes.
Right? That's just like a funny fight. Like there's moments in it that's really funny. Like when Shelby picks up the can to throw at him and then changes his mind and then throws bread at him.
Right.
Or then when like Molly comes out and sits on the lawn and just watches them fight.
Yep.
And then when she's like, Ken's like, can I have a fizzy pop? And then she's like, do you want one, Carol?
No.
He's like, you can get his own. I thought that was pretty funny.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, it's so much of this. And they're the little moments.
Also like the dastardly moves during Le Mans, right? When he steals stopwatches, drops the ball, right? Like all that stuff.
Oh, it's so much of it was so good. And it was subtle. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't in your face. Even the fight scene, which I think was closest to being over the top, I again think they did a very good job of toning it down enough that it was funny without being like, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but without being like ridiculous. Like, oh, okay.
It wasn't over the top. Like it wasn't outside of typical humanity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just thought it was well done. There was a lot of, to go back to what I was saying earlier, actually, there was a lot of really good hero shots of, you know, the three pedal cars, a lot of shifting happening, some extremely satisfying sound design for like, you know, the clutch and like the shift linkages operating and the shifting happening, like very satisfying sound design. I would be surprised if shifting the car actually sounded like that, like very clunky, like thunk, you know, a lot of that happening. And I was there for it. I was ready for it.
Just in general, the storytelling around the idea of having the idea of driving was very good. You know, stuff like seeing the brakes catch on fire and you know, like, but that was important because then it added drama to the race when you'd see the brakes start to glow, right? So you think like, oh no, is he gonna set himself on fire again? And then even like the idea around setting up the idea that like 7,000 RPM is like mm-hmm. a big deal, mm-hmm. right? Because then whenever they would show the, what is that ometer called,
tachometer,
the tachometer, and you'd mm-hmm. see the revs, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or like what level that they're into. It was important to know. And then even things like seeing that the Ferrari went to 9,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, the Ferrari goes to 9,000. Mm-hmm. But when it did, it exploded. right.
Right.
So, you know, like stuff like that was, I think they did a really good job of showing, and like there's the gear shifting is like, you know, and the pedals like is another example of this, of being able to show the importance of the mechanics of driving and allow that to tie into the storytelling of the races. Because for people that don't care about racing, there's not a lot of drama in racing.
Right.
Right. Or sure. Like if you don't understand anything about cars, you're not just going to get excited about the pure idea of somebody driving a car. To make a movie at the level that they're making, which is not a car movie, it is like a drama biopic, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that you're making sense of what's going on. And this is the same for anything. Like if you were making a biopic about like Christian Dior, you need to explain to people why clothing is important, right? In a way that makes sense in a wider scale. Like, you know, I mentioned The Big Short, right? They do a very good job of giving you the basics that you need to understand about the financial crisis and recession, like on the mortgage loan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it in like a very funny way, in like basically having pieces to camera explaining it to you. But you have to do something to try and help contextualize it so it can be interesting even if you don't care about the source material.
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree with you. It's so much of this. I think there were so many places where this movie could have veered right off the track. Hey, and gone mm-hmm. really in a bad way. And I think that even though we both have had some quibbles about it, by and large, I thought it was very well executed and extremely well done. And so much of it was just so plain enjoyable. Like, even though I wasn't happy about the way Ferrari screwed over Ford, it was enjoyable to watch that unfold. And like the scene where Carroll Shelby is arguing for Ford to continue the racing program, like there was so little acting, or there was so little there other than Matt Damon, and yet mm-hmm. everyone in the room did a killer job, especially Matt Damon. But everyone in the room did such a good job of it. It wasn't overacted, in my opinion. It was just every single person in that mm-hmm. room nailed it.
Yeah, I liked the interactions between Carroll Shelby and everyone at Ford
yeah.
because there is, you know, if you've worked in any large corporation, you've felt all of the things that were happening, yeah. right? All of the conflicts
yeah.
and, you know, like the idea of like people needing to step in line and like all that kind of stuff. Where, so I feel like they did a very, very nice job of bringing that to the front in a relatable way for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was so well done. I also think I didn't feel this way until this viewing, but the guy who plays Ford, I don't recall his name and I'm not going to find it quickly enough, but whoever it is, the actor that plays Ford,
Tracy Letts.
Thank you. Does a actually extremely good and largely understated job of it. Like in particular, I'm thinking of when, was it Rosenthal or whoever it is from Baby Driver? What's the actor's name? He plays Lee Iacocca.
John Bernthal.
Sorry. Yes,
I know
thank
him from
you.
Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. I'd never seen Walking Dead, but I think of him as Baby Driver, and he also did he was the bad guy in the most recent BMW film. So quick aside, BMW in like the early 2000s did a bunch of like short films with real honest to goodness film directors as advertisements. And then like 5 years ago, they did another one just as a one-off. And this is the thing that Clive Owen was the star of. Well, anyway, so John, what was his name? Did you say Bernthal?
John Bernthal.
Yeah, John Bernthal. He was the enemy, the bad guy in the most recent one. That was like the one-off from a few years ago. Anyway, bringing it all back around, when Bernthal, who's Lee Iacocca, comes back to America after getting utterly screwed by Ferrari, and he's telling the deuce, you know, all the things that Ferrari had said, that Enzo Ferrari had said. And, you know, what'd you say? Something Lee, what was the deuce's actor's name? Tracy Letts. Is that what you said?
Tracy Letts.
Thank
yeah.
you. So Tracy Letts is standing there, you know, Henry Ford, the deuce, is standing there listening to this, and he's not happy about it, but he's listening. And then, you know, Lee Iacocca says something like, and he called you fat, sir. And you just see his face just ever so slightly shift in the most understated but powerful way. And it's like such a dumb moment in the grand scheme of things, but it was such a well executed moment. I thought really the whole cast just did such a good job. And Molly, I don't recall the actress's name who played her, but I'd also like to co-sign what you had said earlier about her.
Catriona Balfi.
Thank you. She did an absolutely phenomenal job as well. Like everyone in this movie did such a good job.
Yeah, I liked the whole thing, right? Like, I liked the Don Draper presentation that Iacocca did. It didn't work out.
Yeah, yeah.
The corporate intrigue is good. You know, like the whole like Ferrari is this foreign menace type idea. You know, like it works. Yeah, I overall like very, very good movie. Not a perfect movie.
No.
But a very, very good movie.
Yeah, I have quibbles, but in the grand scheme of things, I have no particular complaints about it. And I thought it was very, very well done. I really want you to watch Days of Thunder with me at some point, because I think it's a very entertaining movie, but it is far, it's not as nearly as highbrow as this one was. And I feel like this was a serious film that did everything seriously. Even the comedy was done seriously. And that's not a complaint. That's not disparaging. I'm just saying they took it all very seriously. Days of Thunder is very, very casual by comparison. And it's very much a product of its time, because that was like late 80s, I think, maybe early 90s. And I think it's also very satisfying. I think it's deeply entertaining, but it's a very different movie than this one is. But I can't say enough good things. I loved it. I think there were a lot of good one-liners in it. Carte blanche, that's French for horse manure, let's say. Of course, they delivered that line a little differently. So much of this is so good. You've got Ferrari right where you want him. Pause. You're welcome.
I really tried the you're welcome. Oh, that was
so
nice.
Good. So much is so good. And I mean, maybe there's not much else to say, but I cannot recommend it enough. It is such a genuinely enjoyable film. And you don't have to be a total gearhead, petrolhead, whatever. You don't have to be a car nut to enjoy it. I think, as you had said earlier, I think it's just a genuinely good movie. And it covers so many different avenues, and it does it very, very well. I really, really enjoyed it. I'm really glad that you did too.
Thank you so much for being a Relay FM member. We really, really appreciate it. Absolutely. We hope that you've enjoyed this special members-only presentation of Mike at the Movies for Ford versus Ferrari. You can hear us every month on Analog, where we basically just talk about what's going on in our lives.
So we still haven't come up with a good elevator pitch, but we'll get there one year.
Yeah, who needs it now? We're good. We've got the audience we have. They're very good to us. That's where we are. But anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for being a member. We'll speak to you soon.